A lot of things already said. I express my appreciation for you being in this assembly this afternoon. We have a good crowd, and we thank you for coming. We encourage you to get your Bible and search its pages with us. Just recently, we surveyed the book of Daniel, and he's one of the outstanding characters of the Bible. As we read through the pages of the prophecy of Daniel, there are several words that came to my mind that we might use in describing this outstanding man of God. And as we make a list of some of those this afternoon, you might ask yourself the question, do these words describe me? Let me suggest to you, first of all, that as I think about Daniel, the first word that comes to my mind is the word purposed. Daniel was a man with a strong spiritual purpose. Here's a young man with his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who are taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, away from their homeland in a strange place with strange people speaking a strange language. But notice Daniel 1 and verse 8 says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You might underscore that word purposed. As you read the book of Daniel and you impress yourself with this fine man, you'll find that Daniel had purpose in his life for God, and God had purpose in life for Daniel. The key to his success as a servant of God is the fact that he had purpose. That is, he had a prepared heart. He had put it in mind that he was not going to do anything that would defile himself before God. He didn't wait to get to the king's table to make up his mind as to what he was going to do. Don't wait until you're presented with an opportunity to do something contrary to God's will to decide what you're going to do. Make up your mind right now, if you haven't already. Purpose in your heart that you're going to remain loyal to God. Don't wait until you're presented an alcoholic beverage or some person tries to get you to smoke something or take something or entices you to do something that is contrary to the will of God. Make up your mind right now, like Daniel. Be a person who has a strong purpose. I think about purpose of heart. I think about Ezra, the priest, the scribe. One of the outstanding things that's recorded about Ezra in the book of Ezra chapter 7 and in verse 10 is the fact that he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. One of the downfalls of folks is the fact that they fail to have that kind of purpose. I'll read in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and in verse 14, how that the Bible says of Rehoboam that he did evil. Why did he do evil? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And so when you think about Daniel, I hope you'll be mindful of a man who was purposed, who was strong in that regard, and that he had a prepared heart to seek God. The second thing that I suggest to you that describes this man is the fact that not only was he purposed, but he was pure. I take that from verse 8 when the Bible says that he purposed in his heart, what's the rest of that? That he would not defile himself. Whatever reason, eating at Nebuchadnezzar's table would have defiled him. That would have rendered him unclean before God. And there's different thoughts about that as to why that would have been, if the meat was unclean or if it was prepared in an unclean way or if it would have been meat offered in sacrifice to an idol. But the text doesn't say. Whatever it is, it would have presented an opportunity for him to become unclean. And I want to make a little point, a side point, if you will, about that. Perhaps you've been in some classes where there's a lot of speculation and time taken up in discussion of some things the text doesn't say. There may be a class period spent in some places as to why it would have been unclean for him to have eaten at Nebuchadnezzar's table, Or there might be discussion about, what was that mark that was set on Cain? Or a lot of time taken up with, why did Nicodemus come to Jesus by night? And a lot of speculation about that and conjecture. But I'd like to suggest to you that we just need to stick with the text. Instead of getting out here into theories and speculation and to what you think or somebody else thinks, if you can't prove it by the text, then you can't preach it by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And so don't spend a lot of time in speculation as to why this meat would have been unclean. Be impressed with the primary point, and that is the fact that here's a man who recognized the meat was unclean, and he purposed in his heart that he had not defiled himself. And so he kept himself pure. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 22, Paul said, keep thyself pure. You know, I've got a lot of responsibility in that area, don't you? Just to keep myself pure. And by the way, that's the only person you can keep pure. That's the only person I can keep pure. Keep thyself pure. Just as eating at Nebuchadnezzar's table would have caused him to be impure, unclean. There are some things today that will render us unclean before God. I take you to Matthew chapter 15. In Matthew 15, the Lord had a little conversation with the Jerusalem scribes and Pharisees. They asked him this question. Verse 2, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. They thought that because they didn't wash their hands before they ate, that they were ceremonially unclean. Lord made a little lesson out of that. He said in verse 17, do ye not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth, where do they come from? The heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed, what proceeds out of the heart? Evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Now, inasmuch as Daniel purposed in his heart that he had not defiled himself, I need to put it in mind today that I'm not going to do any of these things that would cause me to be impure or unclean before God. I'm going to watch my thoughts. And my thoughts are made up of what I hear and what I see. I'm going to not engage in murder. And by the way, you can be guilty of murder just by having the wrong attitude towards your brother. Remember that? If you don't love your brother, the Bible says you're a murderer. Adultery. And by the way, you can commit that in your heart. The Lord talked about it. Whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Fornication. That's a sin against one's own body. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:18. Theft. Murder. False witness. Blasphemies. He says, these are the things which defile a man. And so, let's be like Daniel and purpose to be pure. But as you think about words that describe Daniel, not only would you use the word purposed and pure, a third word that came to my mind when I thought about Daniel is the word wise. Here's a man that was wise. Notice in the book of Daniel in chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, as for these four children, that's Daniel and his three friends, God gave them, what did he give them? Knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And so the wisdom that Daniel had was God-given wisdom. It was wisdom that was from above. But notice in Daniel chapter 2, as Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream about a great image that he didn't understand about and he was troubled over. And again, the wisdom of Daniel is seen when in verse 14, the Bible says, then Daniel answered. How'd Daniel answer? With counsel and wisdom. If you'd been Daniel, could it have been said of you that you answered the captain of the king's guard with counsel and wisdom? Here's a man that was wise. And the Bible describes two groups of people, basically, right? The wise and the foolish. And we're either in one area or the other. We probably like to think of ourselves as being wise. But when it comes to what the Lord says about that, are we wise? You know, James said in James 3:13, who is a wise man? And the Bible holds the answer. Like in Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. The man that hears and does what the Lord says is wise. You remember Matthew chapter 7, as the Lord told the story of the wise man that built his house on the rock. The rains came, the winds blew, and what about his house? It stood firm. Why? Because he built his house on a rock. Then he represented the fellow that hears but does not as a foolish man that builds his house on the sand. Then the rains come, the winds beat upon it. What happens? It falls flat. Why? Because he built his house on the sand. It shows the difference between a wise man and a foolish man. Wise people are those who hear and do. And I call your attention to that little statement that James made about wisdom in his short book in the book of James in chapter 3. Notice he said in verse 13, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and fear. A wise man shows his works. And then in verse 15 he says, this wisdom from above is pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. When I think about Daniel, I think about a man who was wise. But I tell you another thing that I think of when I think about Daniel. Another word to describe him. It'd be the word brave. Or you might use the word courageous. Daniel was a man who exemplified unparalleled bravery. Daniel's braveness is first seen in his request. In Daniel chapter 1, when he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself, he made a request of the prince of the eunuchs. You remember his request? Verse 12. Prove thy servants and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now, this individual recognized that such a request would endanger his life before the king. He said in verse 10, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse lacking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. If this individual, this prince of the eunuchs, might be endangered before the king, where do you think that put Daniel and his three friends? And so he kind of put his life on the line here to make the request that he did, that he might remain pure because of his strong purpose. Shows his bravery. But his bravery is not only seen in the request that he made, but in the visions and dreams that he interpreted. Like in Daniel chapter 2. Remember that great image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, Daniel 2:31, and the various parts and pieces of that image represented different kingdoms, four world empires, starting with Babylon, and then you had the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and then the Romans. Notice in Daniel 2 and in verse 38, as Daniel interprets the king's dream, he says to Nebuchadnezzar, thou art this head of gold. That would have taken some courage, wouldn't it? To say to the king, thou art this head of gold. But another situation that showed bravery was when he, in chapter 4, again interprets a dream for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar saw a great tree, you remember, made him afraid. And you remember what that dream was about? he had to tell the king that he was going to be turned into a beast of the field and eat like an ox, eat grass. He said in Daniel chapter 4, in verse 22, "It is thou, O king." In other words, this tree that he saw represented him. "Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth." And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, "Hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him." Verse 25, "They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know." And here's one of the key statements of this book: "That the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Can you imagine going before mighty King Nebuchadnezzar with the message, "You're going to be driven from men, and your dwelling is going to be with the beast of the field, and you're going to eat grass like an ox"? That'd have taken some courage, wouldn't it? But Daniel's bravery is also seen again in chapter 5. Got a new king on the scene. It's Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son. He too had a pride problem. Unfortunately, he didn't learn from the circumstances in his father's life that brought about his downfall. But here Belshazzar has a drinking party, basically. It's a great feast in which they're drunken. And you know what they're drinking out of? The vessels that his father had taken from the Lord's house. Chapter 5 and in verse 3. And while they're drinking and enjoying themselves, there's a hand that's writing on the wall. And from this story, we get that little expression about your knees knocking. He was afraid. He was full of fear. And Daniel was called in, and he had the task of telling this man what that handwriting meant. "Meni, meni, tekel, upharsin." What's that mean? "God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it." Can you imagine telling a king that? "You're weighed in the balances and found wanting. The kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians." And in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And so his bravery seen not only in the request that he made, but in the dreams and the visions that he interpreted, as well as the handwriting on the wall. But it's also seen in chapter 6, when prayer is outlawed. Remember that? Darius promoted Daniel first. He was preferred above the presidents and princes. And this evoked jealousy on the part of the others. They tried to find some fault in him. The only thing they could find was his religious fervor, his faithfulness to God. And so they decided to outlaw prayer. That anybody that would ask any petition of any god or man, save of thee, O king, be cast into a den of lions. And the king signed the writing and the decree. And chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." That would have taken some bravery, wouldn't it? Some courage. Would you have done that if you'd been Daniel? Would you have been brave in serving the Lord? Here a king says, "You can't pray. If you do, you're going to be cast into a den of lions." He didn't change his prayer habits. He went into his room like he did aforetime, with his window open toward Jerusalem, knelt upon his knees and prayed. It's a good example of bravery, isn't it? You know, serving the Lord is not always easy. Sometimes it takes a lot of courage to do the right thing. And that's what Peter talked about when he described in the book of 2 Peter 1 about adding to your faith. He said virtue. That's the courage to stand up for what you believe in, to do what's right. And we need a good dose of that, don't we? From Daniel. But can you think of some other words that would describe Daniel? How about another word? And that'd be the word prayerful. In connection with that last story we saw in the book of Daniel in chapter 6, I suggest that Daniel was a man of prayer. You know, sometimes there are those who just want to use prayer like they would 911 or a fire escape, only in time of emergency. They've tried everything else and, well, I guess it wouldn't hurt to pray. That kind of an attitude. Daniel was a man who was given to prayer. Do you notice how often he prayed? 3 times a day and prayed. It kind of reminds me of the psalmist who talked about evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. Remember that? In Luke 18 and 1, the Lord spoke a parable to this end. To what end? That men ought always to pray. You ever worry? It's easy to worry and fret and be anxious about things, isn't it? You know what will rest the weary? Prayer. In Philippians 4 and 6, Paul said, be careful for nothing. That is, don't be so anxious. Don't get worked up. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When Paul talked about putting on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6, he said in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You remember that little statement? Was it Annie that made it popular years ago? You're never fully dressed without a smile. Well, you're not fully dressed without prayer when it comes to putting on your armor. You think about those pieces, the helmet, the breastplate, and having your feet shod, and your loins girt with truth. Don't forget the prayer. Praying always. Something troubling you, something bothering you, pray about it. Cast all your care upon the Lord, for He careth for you. 1 Peter chapter 5, and then verse 7. Daniel was prayerful. But then another word. One more I'll point out to you. You might add some others that you might think of. But perhaps this word would kind of sum it all up. And that is the word faithful. Daniel was faithful, wasn't he? He was faithful in keeping himself pure. He was faithful in interpreting the dreams. The king had no idea what that image represented. Had no idea what the handwriting on the wall meant. Might have been easy for him to change that. To put his own spin on it, to soften that. He was faithful in communicating the Lord's message to these kings. He was faithful in chapter 6, and he had this reputation. In Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 4, when the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, they could find none occasion nor fault for as much as he was what? Faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. There's no imperfection recorded in the life of Daniel. Quite an amazing story, isn't it? They said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Perhaps folks started looking at you, maybe at work, your place of work, trying to find something against you. Would they be able to find anything? They might be able to use it against you. Find some fault. As he's being cast into this den of lions, notice in verse 16, the king said, thy God whom thou servest, notice how he was reputed as having served God continually. He said, he'll deliver thee. Even the king who did not worship God, didn't recognize God, had his own gods, recognized that Daniel served God continually, and he'd deliver him. And notice in verse 20, as this king comes to the den, that is the lion's den, he said, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And in verse 21, Daniel said, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in his God. Here's a man that was full of faith, and was delivered by his faith. It's no wonder then that he is referred to by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 33, when the author said, And what more shall I say? And he mentioned several other faith heroes, not by name, but mentions Daniel. When he says, Who through faith, verse 33, stopped the mouths of lions. How'd he do that? By his faithfulness. Quite a character, isn't he? He was perfect and he was faithful. And would to God that those words would describe you and I tonight. That throughout our lives we'll have a strong purpose. We'll keep ourselves pure. We'll demonstrate the wisdom of God. We'll be brave in doing what's right, regardless of the circumstances or the consequences. We'll always be prayerful. We'll not forget from whence our blessings come. And we'll be faithful. As the Lord said, Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Be a Daniel. Be a Daniel at home. Be a Daniel at work. Be a Daniel at school. Be a Daniel out here in this community. May you and I conduct ourselves in such a way that we'll have the kind of reputation that this individual had as the king was able to say, Thy God whom thou servest continually is able to deliver thee. Are you a servant of God? Have you taken up your cross to follow after the Lord? We invite you to do that this afternoon, to hear His word, to believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. We'll be happy to baptize you. You can rise to walk in newness of life and go on your way rejoicing. Maybe you've already done that, but you become unfaithful. You get to looking at Daniel and these words that describe him, and maybe they don't describe you like you'd like. You've not been as purposed as you need to be. Maybe you've compromised your purity. You've not been wise in doing what the Lord says. You've not had enough courage to stand up for what's right. You need to make some changes in your prayer habit. Maybe you've not been as prayerful as you need to be. You've not been faithful. You can repent of that, make it right, ask for God's forgiveness. We'll be happy to pray with you as together we stand and sing. We invite you.